Amen. Thank you, choir. Great job. Great message in that song. We appreciate that so much. Thank you. It's not because of anything we've done. Amen, church. It's all because of his grace and mercy and the power of the blood. We're so thankful for that. Well, good morning, church. Good to see all of you here. Thank you for being here this morning on this holiday weekend. I'm honored to stand before you this morning and fill in for Dr. May while he and Delaine are on vacation. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Excuse me, not Galatians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. That's bad when the preacher don't know what scripture to turn to. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, and also go to Genesis 2. Put your bulletin there in Genesis 2 or your Bible bookmark there in Genesis 2. We're going to look at a passage, look at some scripture there in Genesis 2 as well. Hold your place at Genesis 2 and turn with me to Colossians 3. Warren mentioned that I didn't think that I still carried snakes, and he mentioned the fact that he's surprised I'm not leading the orchestra. I'm not a fan of snakes at all, but I think that I would rather have snakes than to try to lead the orchestra. Amen. So I am not musically inclined at all, and I would be no help with that. Colossians 3, and hold your place, mark Genesis 2. Colossians 3, we're going to look at verses 22 through 25. Colossians 3, 22. Look, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of worship, God, and how you've blessed us with your presence. Thank you for the music and the fellowship. God, bless our time now as we open your word. I pray that we'll open our hearts and be receptive to your word. Bless and thank you for everyone here. And I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. And just give me the words to say. For your honor and your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently read an article that said there were 1 billion full-time workers in the world today. The article also said that a Gallup poll was completed with workers from around the world, and it was determined that 85% of employed workers are unhappy with their jobs. Some of the reasons given for being unhappy about their job was, maybe the first one is kind of obvious, they felt they had a bad boss. They also mentioned that they had to work with bad employees, coworkers. Some of the people said that they were unhappy with their job because there was such a long drive to and from work. Others said they were unhappy because of stagnant growth. In other words, they meant that they were doing the same thing over and over, day in and day out, with no chance of advancement or promotion. But this morning, let's be honest. Most of us here today probably have a negative view of work. I mean, the word work itself has basically become another dirty four-letter word. And the word labor, that's naturally got this negative ring to it, doesn't it? You know, back in the 1980s, there was a rock and roll song, and the words in the song said, everybody's working for what? The weekend. Everybody's working for the weekend. And that's true. Admit it. You know, we go to work on Monday, and already on Monday, our minds are focused and thinking about the weekend. Friday comes, and we say, thank God it's Friday. And then during the weekend, we do what we want to do. We have a good time. We enjoy ourselves on the weekend, maybe go to church on Sunday, and then Sunday afternoon, after our Sunday afternoon nap, we think, oh no, we got to go to work in the morning. Amen? We all do that. That's normal and natural. Abraham Lincoln said this, "My father taught me to work, but he did not teach me to love it." So the title of our lesson today, learning to love our labor. Learning to love our labor. Since this is the Labor Day weekend, we're going to look at some biblical principles about work. But this is not a message simply for, only for people who are employed full time. This is a message for those who are retired. This is for stay-at-home moms. I mean, stay-at-home moms work harder than any of us. Amen. And this is for students who are in school as well. But before we get into the body of the message, I want us to look at some scripture and talk about the origin of work. Where did work come from? Why is it that we have to work? And why is it that we have such a negative view about work? Hold your place here in Colossians 3 and turn with me now over to Genesis 2. Go over to Genesis 2. We know, of course, that Genesis is a story of the creation, God's creation of heaven and earth, of the whole universe, and story of Adam and Eve. So look at Genesis 2 with me. Look now, if you will, look at verse 4 and 5. Notice what it says. Genesis 2, verse 4. "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground." And then now skip down to verse 8. Look at verse 8. "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Now drop down to verse 15. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it." You see, this is the origin of work. Mankind was created to fulfill the need that we see here in verse 5. God spoke the word. God spoke the word, and the heavens and the earth were created. He created the whole universe. And we see here in verse 8 that God was the first farmer. Amen. Well, it says God planted a garden. And so since God created the heavens and the earth, he planted a garden, created a garden. He needed somebody to work in that garden. He needed somebody to take care of his creation. It says here that he needed somebody to look after it, to manage it. Verse 15 says to tend it or cultivate it and to keep it. As a result, mankind is rewarded with what the garden produces. Listen to me. Listen. In the original concept, mankind receives enjoyment, satisfaction, and pleasure from his work. You see, at this point in God's original plan, work was not work. But then we know the rest of the story. We see here in Genesis that Adam and Eve committed that first sin, and there are many consequences to Adam and Eve committing that first sin. That first sin caused a lot of problems, a lot of consequences, and one of the consequences is the curse of work. Look now at Genesis 3. Genesis 3, flip over to Genesis 3. Let's look at verse 17, 18, and the first part of verse 19. Look at Genesis 3:17. "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it." So Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, committed the first sin. Now notice this. "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." You see, this first sin caused work to become labor. The fall of man caused man's work to become difficult and to become a struggle. Originally, Adam had much better working conditions. But because of their sin, it says here, God says, now you will eat bread by the sweat of your face or the sweat of your brow. God goes on to say that cursed is the ground, and now you've got to go to work and you must labor. But we can make our work and our labor more enjoyable and less of a struggle if we apply some biblical principles. Learning to love our labor, title of our lesson today. Notice three things back over in Colossians 3. Three things here in Colossians 3, learning to love our labor. First of all, number one, let's consider our employer. Consider our employer. Look at verse 22. Paul writing to the church in Colossae, he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So here Paul is writing in the context of his day. And he uses the relationship of a master and a slave here in this passage. And so this relationship of master to slave has parallel meaning to our modern day system of employer and employee. Now listen, understand the context here. In these previous verses, the three or four verses right before verse 22, Paul writes about the relationship of people within the home. He talks about how to live a godly life in the family, among your family and in the home. Then he transitions now to talk about your relationships at work, how to live a godly life at your workplace. And so we see here, Paul says, he begins by saying that we should do a good job. Whatever your job requires, do a good job, but not because the boss is watching. Listen, our goal as Christians should not be to butter up the boss, amen? As Christians, we should not be focused on doing a good job simply to put on a good show. Listen, as believers, we don't want to be that guy that gets real busy and goes to work and does a great job only when the boss is around, only to look good for the boss. I'm gonna tell you a story about something I did on my first day of my first job. I had a job, a summer job, when I was in high school. I think it was between my freshman and sophomore year in high school. And I grew up in the big city of Plainville. Give me a shout out for Plainville. There they are, right over there. Grew up in the big city of Plainville, got a summer job at the Plainville Recreation Department. There were three of us, two other guys my same age, summer job. We were in high school. And there was another guy who was a little bit older than we were. He was a college age student. And since he was a little bit older, he got to be the supervisor. And so there was a supervisor and a recreation director. He was our boss, the main boss. The supervisor's name was David. And the recreation director, his name was Richard. So on the first day on the job, they gave us a task to do. They told us to move some outdoor portable basketball goals around behind this big brick building that was on the property there, take it around on the backside of the property and behind that building. Now this was the mid-1970s, so these portable basketball goals are nothing like they make today. The base of that basketball goal was a round, heavy metal cast iron base with a hole in the center. And then the goal, of course, was a long pole with a backboard and the basketball goal. That base probably weighed, it was heavy, 75, 80 pounds. At least it seemed very heavy for two people, you know, in high school. But me and another guy grabbed that base And the other guy grabbed the backboard and started dragging that pole. And we started going around, making our way to the back of that building to put them in storage. So we made our way around the corner of the building, and we turned and we looked, and there was a double basketball court, outdoor court, you know, blacktop pavement. And then on the other side of that was a ball field. And then the other side of the ball field was the main road that goes through downtown Plainville. And we looked across over, out to the road over there, and we saw David in his truck leaving. He was going to, he was running an errand, going to pick something up. And so he was leaving. And so we turned the corner of that building, and we looked and we said, there goes David. Boom. We just dropped everything right there. Our supervisor was leaving. There goes David. Boom. We just dropped it. The other two guys sat down. We were going to chill. We were going to take an unplanned break, even though we just started work. Amen. But so there goes David. Boom. We dropped it, and I turned and looked. And I said, yep, and there comes Richard. We were busted. He walked right up on us right after we just dropped everything and sat down on the ground there to quit. We were busted. We were caught. I learned a valuable lesson that day. I learned that that particular place was not a good place to hide. But listen, listen, as Christian employees, as a Christian business owner, stay-at-home mom or student, let's remember that God is always watching. God is always watching, and we as Christians have a responsibility to do our best to please Him, to please God. If we look busy for the boss, that means we fear getting fired. But Paul says here, we're to do a good job. We should stand out. Why? Because we fear God. Because we fear God. Verse 17 right here in Colossians 3, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, what? Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Yes, listen to me, church. Yes, we do a good job for our earthly boss so we can get a paycheck, but that is our duty. We also do a good job for our Heavenly Father because that is our devotion. If we are faithful to God, it should also extend to the workplace. I think we tend to compartmentalize our life. I think that's kind of natural as human beings to put everything in a category. We put our job over here. We put our family over here. We put our pleasure and recreation over here. And then on Sunday, we put our Christian faith. One day out of seven. Listen, Ephesians 4:6 says, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God is the God of everything that we do. And we're supposed to serve God 7 days a week, including on the job. I'll give you one last thing. Give you one more thing here. We move on. Listen, this is good. You write this down. It's been said, if you don't please God, if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. If all you're thinking about is pleasing the boss and not pleasing God, it doesn't matter that you please the boss. If you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. If you do please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please. That's good, isn't it? So we see here the learning to love our labor. Number one, we consider our employer. Number two, we should consider our enthusiasm. Consider our enthusiasm. Look at verse 23. Notice he says here, verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Notice that word heartily. Heartily. That literal translation in the Greek language means out of the soul. Paul is saying here in whatever we do, including on our jobs, he's saying you're to put your heart and soul into it. The Living Bible translation says it this way, work hard and cheerfully at all you do. As Christians on the job, we're to be fully engaged. Amen. As Christian employees or business owners, we're to be fully engaged, fully committed, and also do it with a good attitude. Mark Twain said this, listen, he said, work is not a concrete thing, it's a mental attitude. Nothing is work or play, but thinking makes it so. You see, in anything that we do, it's our attitude that makes the difference. Our perspective and how we do our job, that makes it work or play. Listen, I fully understand and realize that life can become a daily grind. We get in a rut. We get burned out sometimes, just day in and day out, going to work, doing our jobs. And it's hard to keep a good attitude. It's hard to always whistle while we work, like Snow White sang about. You remember Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? One of the dwarfs was named Happy. Doesn't that bless your soul, doesn't it? We're not all called happy. Our name is not Happy. And I understand, I know what it's like. I used to have a secular job and career, and I understand how it is. But I hope you don't ask our church staff about me as an employee, because they would probably tell you that I'm probably dopey and grumpy all rolled into one. Don't say amen. And depending on what day it is, you could probably throw sleepy in there. Listen, it's hard working that grind, but the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? No matter how hard life gets, God is always with us. He promises to never leave us or forsake us, and that includes on the job. Listen, it will change our attitude if we don't think of work as punishment, but look as work as an opportunity and a partnership with God. So we see here, learning to love our labor, we need to consider our employer. Number two, we consider our enthusiasm. And notice number three, consider our eternal reward. I believe I like point three the best. I mean, it gets better. Look at verse 24 and 25. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. You may be here and you think that your boss, your place of employment, doesn't compensate you in a fair way. You may think, you may believe that you're not treated equally or fairly among your fellow employees. But listen, God promises to be fair and faithful in giving you your eternal benefits package. There will be a payday one day in heaven. God will bless you and reward you for your faithful service to him, including in your work. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, and we will be judged for how we live as Christians. You got to remember, you got to understand that we'll be judged for how we did, how we acted, how we lived on the job. That will be considered and taken into account as well. And God will make everything right. God will bless you. God will honor your faithful service on the job. in this life, and he promises to reward you and make it all right, make it fair in the life to come. It's been said that there are three kinds of workers in the world. For example, when a piano is being moved, the first kind of worker gets behind the piano and pushes. The second kind of worker gets in front of the piano and he pulls and guides. And the third kind of worker grabs the piano stool. Y'all will get that this afternoon. If you don't get that, that tells you something. As Christians, let's remember to work as unto the Lord. In everything we do our best. On the job, we need to shine. We need to do our best. We need to be a faithful worker. Let's don't be a saved slacker. But let's be thankful for the opportunity we have to represent God on the job. And let's do what the Bible says. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. God will reward your faithful service in how you serve him in the home, in the church, and on the job, and in the community. He'll reward those that move the piano, and he'll deal with those that only grab the stool. As I mentioned a minute ago, there were many consequences that are the result of Adam and Eve's first sin. One of them being the curse of work. And also another consequence is that you and I were born into this world as sinners. They committed that first sin and the whole world was plunged into sin. Every person ever born into this world as sinners, separated from God and on our way to a devil's hell. But God loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus into this world to die for your sins and my sins, the sins of your boss, the sins of your coworkers, sins of the whole world. Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead, and he lives today. If you trust Jesus as Savior, as Lord and Savior, you can live your life in victory. If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen, I beg you, don't leave here today without taking care of that. God made it so easy and so simple. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith, confess your sins, ask Jesus into your heart, be the best decision you ever made. And then you can go about living your life in victory and living for the Lord in everything that you do. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation hymn. If you're here today, you never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you come. You can come. We'll take care of that. But maybe you've got a spiritual need or a physical need or some other need that you'd like to pray about. I invite you to come as well. I'll be here down front. Warren will be with me as well. Over in the contemporary service, Richard will be there. If you got a need today, you just need to come and pray about whatever it is. Pray about your job. Ask God to help you be a faithful, godly employee in your place of work. Maybe you're just going through a hard time, a difficult time. God wants to bless you. God wants to do a work in your life. Whatever your need today, during our invitation time, you come. Let's pray together. God, we bow before your throne. We're so thankful for this time together. Thank you that your word gives us instruction about every area of life, including on the job. God, help us to commit to being faithful to you in everything that we do, in the community, in our homes, here at church, and yes, on the job. Thank you that we live in a country where we have the opportunity to work and to live. God, we thank you for the blessings that you give us and how you're always with us, no matter where we go and what we do. Speak to the hearts of your people today, Lord, and whatever the need, I pray that people will come and pray and do business with you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand together. Mark's going to lead us in the invitation hymn. Whatever's on your heart, you come. Pray about it this morning.